Our text for this morning's meditation is from Jeremiah chapter 26, these words. And when Jeremiah had finished speaking all that the Lord had commanded him to speak to all the people, then the priests and the prophets and all the people laid hold of him, saying, "You shall die." So our text, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our text finds the prophet Jeremiah facing his death. And facing his death because of what he said. You see, the prophet Jeremiah was told by God to preach to the people of Jerusalem, to preach to the people coming to the temple to worship there from all over Judah. The prophet Jeremiah was to preach to the people and to tell them that if they did not repent of their sins of not walking in the law of God, not listening to the words of the prophets. Yes, the prophet Jeremiah was to tell the people that if they did not repent of their sins, then the temple would become a wasteland, empty. That the city itself would be a curse for all the nations of the earth, destroyed. Obviously, in that Jeremiah was facing death at the hands of the people who heard this message, obviously that message didn't go down too well. I mean, how dare he? How dare Jeremiah say that the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, the people come to worship in the temple there, were not doing what they were supposed to do? Were not being how they were supposed to be, not living as they were supposed to live? How dare he? And who was this Jeremiah anyway to say that because of what the people were doing, the temple in Jerusalem would become a wasteland? That's empty. When the city of Jerusalem, a curse, destroyed. How dare he? I mean, the people weren't that evil. They weren't hideous. They weren't despicable. They were, in fact, the people there in Jerusalem, the people of Judah. The people come to worship in the temple. These people were good people. God's people. His people. How could Jeremiah say such a thing? How dare he? That's just so wrong. People were fine. Jerusalem was going to be okay. So Jeremiah, the guy who said these things, he had to die. Of course, the problem with that line of reasoning on the part of the people, the problem with their thinking was that the words of Jeremiah were not Jeremiah's words. Weren't his words. They were, in fact, the words of the Lord. The word of the Lord. The word of God. And God himself had Jeremiah preach these words, as noted a few moments ago, because God could see into the hearts of his people, the people of Jerusalem, the people of Judah, and what was in their hearts was certainly not what should be there. Now, this reaction to the preaching of Jeremiah, this reaction to the announcement of impending death, this reaction somewhat familiar, isn't it? I mean, in a way, it's similar to the reaction we're seeing around the world this morning, the COVID virus. It's a reaction of the world to death, right? The threat of death, to a death that can occur even to people that are, well, good people, decent people, nice people. The spreading of the COVID virus has brought death to the forefront of people's minds, impending death. But why? Why? Why has that done that? We're constantly surrounded by death. Constantly. Here's an interesting statistic. Every day in the United States, on average, 7,452 people die. 7,452. That's one person every 12 seconds. Now, around 220 of those deaths throughout the United States last year per day were from the flu. 220 a day. On average, or about 80,000 in total. How about the world? How many people die every single day in the world? That number is 153,424. 153,424 every day. How many people die every year in the world? Now, that number is staggering. It's 56 million. 56 million people die every year around the world. More close to home, every day in Minnesota, a person is killed in a car accident. Every day in Minnesota, two people die of drug overdoses. Every day in Minnesota, nine people are buried at Fort Snelling. Every day in the newspaper and online, there's a page of obituaries, obituaries of people who have died. So we literally are surrounded by death every single day, but are simply oblivious to it. We ignore it. That is until it shows up, death, that is, in the form of a virus, a new virus. And now, what if now that death has rushed to the forefront of people's minds, that Jeremiah would show up and proclaim that people are going to die, and they're going to die because of their sin, and so they should repent. They should repent of their sin. Well, that's going way too far, Pastor. I mean, death by chance is one thing. Death by bad luck, another. Death by scientifically explained means, well, still another. But death as a punishment? Punishment for sin? Well, all death is a punishment. Every last death, every day, every week, every month, every year, every death is a punishment for sin. The wages of sin, Scripture tells us, is death. The death with which God warned Adam and Eve, telling them that the day they disobeyed him, they would surely die. And we, still today, we live in that disobedience of heart and soul and mind, and so we suffer the consequence for it in death. It's as simple as that. And if we feel indignant at that news, at that news, at that proclamation, we are just like the people in our text who would kill the prophet Jeremiah. We aren't that bad, Pastor, we could counter. I mean, we're certainly not as bad as some people we know. We're not gang members, drug dealers, mercenaries, human traffickers. That's right. We're not. We're not that bad. But we simply are not that good either, are we? Right? Yeah, that's the point. Yes, we're good enough to maintain a civil righteousness of sorts that garners us a bit of respect in our lives, a paycheck, and a few friends, but that's it, really. And then we die. So what about Jesus then, we might be thinking at this point? What about Jesus? Why did he die? Why did he suffer? Why was he crucified? I mean, Jesus actually was good. As in not bad in any way or shape or form, any thought, word, or deed. What about Jesus? Why did he die? Jesus had no sin. You're right. Jesus had no sin. But Jesus still died. And Jesus died because he took upon himself our sin. Jesus took upon himself our sin, and as Scripture tells us, he nailed our sin to the cross, and he left it there. And since our sin was nailed to the cross with Jesus, God, our Heavenly Father, forgives. He forgives our sins. Why? When he looks for those sins, our sins, where does he find them? They're still there, nailed to the cross. Jesus suffered the wages of sin, the wages of our sin, death. But then 3 days later, he rose again from the dead. In other words, Jesus didn't stay dead, as they say today. Jesus didn't stay dead. And because Jesus didn't stay dead, it is said that he conquered death. That means death couldn't hold Jesus. And he took up his life once again and lived. And that's called the resurrection. And it's this living, this life of Jesus that he lives even now that he wishes to give to us, to give to us who are facing death. It's a life of the forgiveness of sins, of the certainty of that forgiveness, of a conscience free from fear and with the knowledge that through faith in Christ, through our baptisms into Christ, when we die, we don't cease to exist, but we find ourselves still to be alive. Alive in heaven with Jesus, like the thief on the cross to whom the promise was given. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Why the death for the Christian is called a portal or a door or a gate into life, into eternal life, into eternal life with our Lord and Savior, never to face death in whatever form ever again. That's why even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, this life we live now with the threat of death always hanging over our heads, we'll fear no evil. For our Savior Jesus is with us, his rod is defending us, his staff is guiding us. Here's a strange thought. You know, as Christians, if we went through death more than just one time, we really wouldn't be frightened of it. Not at all. I mean, think here of Lazarus. Lazarus, who Jesus raised from the dead. After being raised from the dead and living out his life here on earth, do you think Lazarus was afraid of death? I would venture to say no. He'd already experienced life after death. He knew what would happen. So after he was raised from the dead by Jesus, he wasn't frightened of dying. When I was a child, maybe 3 or 4, I was utterly terrified of going through the car wash with my mom in our Ford station wagon. The sounds of the machines were terrifying. And the sight of the huge brushes going up over the car, unbearable. I would cover my head with my hands, and I would cry, and I would scream. To me, it seemed like that car was not going to be washed, but it was going to be crushed. Crushed like a tin can with me inside of it. Of course, that never happened. And driving out of the car wash there in the high plains of western Nebraska, we were always greeted by an amazingly blue sky and an incredibly bright sunshine every single time. So eventually I learned that the car wash, although it appeared to be terrifying, was nothing. There was always, always a bright blue sky and sunshine on the other side. Well, as Christians, we can think of death in the same way. No, death is not like being in a Ford station wagon in a car wash. But it is like being in green pastures and still waters with our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is with us and will not forsake us and will indeed lead us to everlasting life. And that being so, we can boldly and confidently confess in the face of death, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That means whether we live or whether we keep on living, we are the Lord's. Simply, it's true. It's a result of believing the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that because he has died for us and lived, when we die, we too will live. We will live forever and ever and ever. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise and sing the offertory.